the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week over this station at this time. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray now that you will help us in hearing and in speaking. In Jesus' name, amen. As most of you know, I'm in a series of messages on my life story, which began in Nazi Germany on Mother's Day, May 10, 1936. God has taken me through many deliverances from the Nazis, since I'm part Jewish, from British bombs, and from the Russian Soviet invasion. He also delivered me from torpedo boats in the Baltic Sea, from submarines, and from starvation. I found Jesus at 16 years of age in the land of England, and I came to the United States on July 19, 1955. I worked several jobs before I went to college. After I received my college degree, I worked some more. Then after 3 years of working for the Communicable Disease Center of the United States Public Health Service, while yet in the state of Alaska, as a public health administrator, God spoke to me and said, I'm calling you to the ministry. It's time to quit your job and to go to seminary. By this time, I was 27 years old, I was married, and I was a father of two little girls. So today, I'm on my call to the ministry. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 11, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Now this passage, as well as all of Romans chapter 11, refers first of all to the future of Israel. My friend, God has a future for the Jewish people on this earth, and he's not done with the Jewish people. The best times for the Jews are still ahead. The Jews will receive Jesus, because it says in this chapter that the day will come when all Israel will be saved. There will be a great revival in Israel, and the power of the Holy Spirit will work through the Jews and touch everyone on the face of the earth. That's what's ahead of us. Glory to God. Now, some of you say, well, we're all Jews. It is true that Paul says in another passage that all those who are circumcised in the heart are Jews. But we have two kinds of Jews. Jews who are Jews by virtue of the circumcision of the heart, and those who are Jews by divine election. This is because of a covenant relationship that God made with Abraham way back. And when these Jews of divine election have their hearts circumcised, my friend, then watch out. So although this passage, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance, refers first of all to the Jew, it also refers to every minister. Once God calls a man to the ministry, it is truly a life call, and there is no way of getting out of it at any time. When God calls a man to the ministry, it is a life call. When God calls a man, he never makes a mistake. God doesn't call a man carelessly or quickly or haphazardly, not having his mind together. No, my friend, that selection process that God goes through before he puts a call upon a man of God into the ministry is done by very careful and very thoughtful examination of the man. I need only to refer you to Jesus when he called the 12 apostles. It says he prayed all night before he chose them. He prayed all night to be sure that he picked the right ones, and the call on these 12 men was a life calling. So my dear fellow minister, if you have had the call of God on your life, and you failed, or you quit because things became difficult, or you became entangled in the things of the world, that calling of God is still on you today. Going into the ministry, of course, is a serious thing. Only one out of three who enter the ministry finish in the ministry. Another thing I want you to think about is that in many cases, we're pushing young men and women too quickly into the work of the ministry. We get somebody converted, and then that person has a little fire for God, and they show a little gift or ability in preaching or in teaching, and before long we encourage them to go to a Christian college and to enter the pulpit. My friend, seldom is a man of God ready to stand behind the pulpit before he's 30 years of age. Seldom is a man ready to enter the pulpit until he's first learned to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. This was the case with Jesus. Jesus spent most of the first 30 years of his life as a carpenter. He learned to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. Surely, as the divine Son of God, he could have been an exception to the law of the land that a man could not be a priest until he's 30 years of age. No, God's plan was for him to go through the process of rubbing shoulders with working men, of being seasoned and matured, and being made ready for the great work that God had planned for him to do. And this has been my experience before God called me into the ministry. He had me work as a machinist for several years, as a translator for the Library of Congress, as a lab technician, as a truck driver, as a man sweeping floors, loading up boxcars, as an investigator, as an administrator. Yes, I knew that God had a calling on my life from the time I was 16 or 17 years of age. However, from the time I sensed his call upon my life and for the work of the ministry, to the time it took before he actually called me to get ready was about a span of 11 years. So when I stepped behind the pulpit at 30 years of age, I could say to the men sitting in front of me, I've said what you have said. I understand you. I know your circumstances. I know your burdens. I know the pressures that are upon you as you work hard all day and then you have your family to come home to take care of them. So at age 27, while I was in my office in the capital of Alaska, all of a sudden Jesus said, it's time now to get ready for seminary. I said, Jesus, thank you. I will do what you tell me to do. I was in a 2-year government contract and I had been on my job 1.5 years, and I had just 6 more months to fulfill the commitment to the United States government. You know, when Jesus calls you many times, you are in a difficult place. You may have made some promises to different people, to relatives, to your employer, when all of a sudden Jesus says, leave all that behind you and follow me. What are you going to do when you've made promises, when you are in a contract? Are you going to break your promise? Are you going to say to God, God, you'll just have to wait until I keep my promise I made with man, with family, with my workplace? Or are you going to keep that promise you made before all these promises to man at the altar when you received Jesus, that Jesus would always be first and everything else would always be second? Are you going to consider that God's word is higher than the promises that you made with man? My friend, where are your priorities? Are we supposed to keep our promises to man above our promise to God, to always let him be the Lord? Let me ask you this question. Don't you think that Matthew made a promise that on that day when Jesus called him that he would be home with his wife for supper? Was he home for supper? Do you think that Matthew had made a promise to do a good job, to be faithful in balancing the books, the tax collecting books at the end of every day? Did he balance the books at the end of the day when Jesus called him? My friend, think about this. When Jesus called him, the Bible says that immediately Matthew rose up and followed Jesus. And because he did respond to the voice of God, we have this wonderful gospel of Matthew today. When God speaks, it's time to move, and God will take care of everything else. He will work things out in amazing ways. So I got to an airplane in Alaska and I flew to my regional office, which was located in San Francisco, to see my boss. He was like the other boss I had in Detroit, Michigan, a cigar-smoking, typical government officer. So I got into his office, and of course, by all appearance, my dear friend, he didn't seem to have any religious affiliation or interest in spiritual things whatsoever. And as he was smoking his cigar, I said, sir, the Lord has just called me to go into the ministry, and I know I'm under a 2-year contract, and that I have 6 more months to go to keep that contract. I signed for this contract that I would follow through with it, but now I'm in this place where Jesus is calling me to go into the ministry. My friend, do you think I prayed a little Or do you think I prayed a lot? This was all going on and on and on, all the way down on my flight from Juneau, Alaska to San Francisco, California. I prayed because I'm a man that always try to keep his word to the slightest detail. So my boss took another puff on his cigar, and then he said, "Well, if the Lord calls you, you better go and follow him." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus went ahead of me. Jesus has always gone ahead of me since I found him. Then the boss also said, because you're leaving early, the government will not pay your expenses to move your furniture down to the lower states. So you'll have to pay your own way. I said, that's no problem. I did not have any money to move my furniture thousands of miles by ship and then by rail and then by truck. But I know Jesus was with me, and so I said, no problem. Oh, my dear friends, was I ever happy. Here, I had some very close friends and even some family members who thought entering the ministry, leaving this very high-paying, wonderful government job, was foolish. They thought that it was a terrible thing for me to do this to my wife and children, to go into the ministry and get a low salary and perhaps have my wife work on top of that. And here this boss, who claimed no religious affiliation, said, if Jesus calls you, you better follow. Many times we get more support from unbelievers than believers. Yes, indeed, when you obey God and put Jesus first, he works out all the rest for you. Dear ones, you will be tested many times in your life. Are you willing to put Jesus first before any earthly commitment that you've ever made? Once I've skipped doing a wedding that I was supposed to do. Another time I skipped my youngest daughter's high school graduation. I've skipped all kinds of things because I heard the sound of a higher voice. And you know, God has always worked things out. For the Bible says, all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For example, the wedding I was supposed to do, I had to cancel. My friend today, this couple is one of the most dedicated couples following Jesus. My daughter, whose graduation I missed, is one of the most ardent followers of Jesus, just like her daddy's trying to be. You never, 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 ever lose by following Jesus and putting him first. Let me close with a passage in Matthew chapter 8. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus says unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury the dead. Are you going to go with Jesus? Or are you going to make excuses for not following when he calls you? If you do make excuses, or if you allow your word to men to be more important than God's word to you or your first word to God, you will never become a disciple and experience the blessed fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Oh, when Jesus calls you, let it always be yes, 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 every single time, and you will have a little bit of heaven here on earth to go to heaven in. Next week, I will continue my story. I will tell you of my travel to seminary through a snowstorm in the Canadian Rocky Mountains. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and goodbye now until next week.